able to find out. If you come on Friday during the day, then I'll go on. So that being happy with me, I would like to invite you and the team to address.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, honourable members, officials from Parliament, committee members of the media present. I'd like to start by introducing a team of officials who have come from the department. Apart from myself, I have on my left Peter Pretorius, who is the Chief Financial Officer of the department, and on his left is Clement Mardali, who is the head of the DG's office and is also responsible for strategic planning of the department and for reporting against the development of the APP and reporting against the APP. And behind on my left, we have Carlos Lucho, who is the head of human resource management in the department. And on my right is Caroline Monwani, who's my personal assistant in the DG's office. Honourable members, we were asked to make a presentation on our expenditure and performance for the third quarter. We've divided it into two presentations, one on expenditure and one on performance. I'm going to start with the presentation on expenditure. The first slide, which is up there now, shows the approved annual estimate of national expenditure budget for 12-13 for the department in thousands of rand, where the total approved budget was 174 million, divided between the three economic classifications of compensation, goods and services, and capital assets as indicated, and also divided between the four branches or programs, main budget programs of the department of administration, outcomes monitoring and evaluation, M&E systems and public service oversight. Just to recap for members' information, the OME program or branch focuses on the outcomes and monitoring evaluation relates to the outcomes, and our evaluation unit is also in the OME branch. The M&E systems branch, which is the smallest branch, focuses on data quality across government and policies related to monitoring and data collection and data management. And the public service oversight branch is the part of the department which does frontline service delivery monitoring, which houses the presidential hotline, and which also carries out management performance assessments of the quality of management practices in government departments and municipalities. In the lower table, we show the shifts and environments which we've done during the course of the year. Of course, the environments have been done within the 8% rule in the PFMA. It shows that we biased 3.4 million from compensation during the course of the year and added it to goods and services. And I'll get into the reasons for that now. We had savings in compensation or personal expenditure for a number of reasons, which we've listed here, which includes that we didn't fill some of the positions as rapidly as we estimated, so our expenditure didn't follow up our planned expenditure as closely as we expected, because we had greater difficulties than we expected in finding suitable candidates for some specialist positions, which meant that we had to re-advertise or go the headhunting route, which meant that some of the recruitment processes took longer than planned. A number of our advertised positions were filled by successful internal candidates, which resulted in new vacancies, which meant that our expenditure didn't increase as much as we'd expected. We've also budgeted for implementation of a bargaining council resolution related to upgrading levels, people, officials on levels 9 to level 10, and officials on levels 11 to level 12, which was budgeted for and has only partially been implemented in the last month. We also had some delays in obtaining pre-employment security screening for some appointments. And we were also planning to create a fairly significant unit to support the DG and the presidency to carry out assessments of directors general in the government according to a cabinet decision. But we were only able to, we've only partially staffed that unit because the implementation of this cabinet decision is still awaiting the issuing of a new HIV assessment policy by the DPSA. We moved all those savings from personnel to goods and services, largely to fund evaluations in terms of the national evaluation plan under the outcomes monitoring evaluation branch. And I'll talk a bit more about that in a few minutes. We also obtained some savings from the presidential hotline. So if you look at this previous table showing the savings, you'll see under goods and services, under PSO, there's a minus 2.9 million. Those are the results of savings in the presidential hotline. And I'll talk in more detail later about how those savings were achieved. But in summary, they were related to the costs of if you needed to pay CEPA and the telephony, telecom and cell phone companies for the toll fee presidential hotline being lower than budgeted. And we moved those savings from the presidential hotline to goods and services to fund the 20-year review and research that we're busy working on norms and standards for concurrent functions. This graph shows our expenditure overview for the 12 months of the financial year. As you can see, there's an increase from April through to March with quite a large March spike, and I'll talk about the reasons for that March spike in some detail. Looking at it from a different angle, in this picture we've provided a pie chart that shows in the blue part slice of the pie how much of our total budget is under expenditure, is projected under expenditure, how much is savings, the red one, how much is funds committed to projects but delayed, in other words, the funds are committed to contractually committed, but not all the goods or services have yet been delivered. The orange shows our projected expenditure for March. The darker brown shows expenditure for January and February, and the light brown shows the expenditure from quarters one to the end of quarter three. So we spent 55% of our overall budget by the end of quarter three, and we spent another 18.5% in January and February. As indicated earlier by this graph, there has been a marked increase in expenditure towards the end of the financial year. And this expenditure has been, this increase on expenditure has been on two main areas. One is IT equipment and the other is evaluations and research projects. The reasons why this expenditure took place at the end of the financial year and not on a consistent basis during the course of the year are as follows. As a new department, we needed to reach agreement with CEPA on our IT infrastructure plan and our IT infrastructure requirements, because for the first year that we existed, when we were part of the presidency and part of the presidency's budget vote, we used the presidency's IT system. In fact, we're only now starting in our own email system, for example, as our new IT infrastructure comes into place. The CEPA only finally approved our plan. equipment only then started in July, the procurement process. So the procurement process itself, the tendering took a few months, and then the contracts were entered into, and the all our IT equipment for our bus become our own independent IT system has only been delivered this month and the last month or two. And that explains why we've had a big spike in our IT expenditure towards the end of the financial year. Then with our evaluations, we have a substantial budget this year for evaluation. It's our main goods and services budget. I think it's our largest goods and services budget for evaluation. The evaluation program has been relatively new. The National Evaluation Policy Framework was only approved by Cabinet in November 2011. And after producing the policy framework, we then went back to Cabinet with a proposed list of evaluations to be carried out in 2012-13 based on a process, consultative process with departments to identify the priority evaluations. And that national evaluation plan for the evaluations to be carried out in 2012-13 was also only approved by Cabinet in June 2012. So we could only start again, the procurement processes for the evaluation in July 2012, some way into the financial year. So the evaluations only started towards the end of calendar 2012, and many of them have just finished or been finished off now, and that explains why we've had a big spike in expenditure on goods and services, largely on evaluations at the end of the financial year. Chairperson, this situation will change next financial year because now that we've got these, we won't have this big expenditure on IT infrastructure next financial year because our new IT infrastructure is now in place. But also with the evaluations, which again will be our largest goods and services expenditure item next year, we now have been able to start earlier. The 2013-2014 evaluation plan was approved in November 2012, and we're doing preparations. We've been doing preparations since then, so that the evaluations will start much earlier in the 2013-2014 financial year. So our expenditure on evaluations will be much more evenly spread over the 2013-2014 financial year. Then after the start of the financial year, we were requested by Cabinet and the President to start the process of undertaking the 20-year review. And also we were requested by the Forum of South African DGs to coordinate the process together with other national departments of reviewing norms and standards for concurrent functions. Ascertaining whether or not the scope have more comprehensive norms and standards for concurrent functions as a means of improving service delivery and government performance. That's norms and standards for concurrent functions at provincial and local government level. We started both of these projects we were requested to start after the start of the financial year. So they've both been funded through shifts and violence. Because we're already after the start of the financial year, again, the planning only started somewhere into the financial year, and most of the expenditure on these two projects will take place towards the end of the financial year. We got a printout from the system this morning, and currently our expenditure for the entire year is sitting at 90.6%. And so we envisage that it's going to stay pretty much like that, given that there's only 3 days left for expenditure in the financial year. So we project a 9.3% under expenditure against our total budget for the financial year, of which 5.8% is already contractually committed, and that orders have been issued, but the goods or services have not yet been received. This category of this 5.8% consists of payments which are still due for some of our ICT equipment, which hasn't yet been delivered, and for the remainder of the research work required for the 20-year review and the project on norms and standards for concurrent functions, and for some of the evaluations which are not yet completed for the 2012-2013 evaluation plan. We envisage, so we've divided this 9.3% into three categories. The first category being the contractually committed category, which is 5.8% of the 9.3%. The second category is actual under expenditure, which is 1.6%, which is largely due to under expenditure on compensation. And the third category is what we call savings, which we've differentiated from under expenditure, and that is due to items that we plan to buy costing less than expected. For example, some of the ICT equipment that we bought cost less than we budgeted, than we expected it to cost. And some of the evaluations which were procured through a tendering process came in at a lower price than we expected. Going into some more detail on compensation, and I'll fill in a quote. This graph shows our filled posts from April 2012 through to March, the end of March 2013, during the financial year. It shows that we've increased our establishment by 30 warm bodies during the course of the financial year. Our actual recruitment has been more than this because in some instances we recruited internal people to some of the positions which created vacancies elsewhere which we had to fill. At 31 March 2012, we had 195 funded posts, of which 137 posts were filled. In July 2012, we created some new posts to create a unit for monitoring local government. And at the same time, in order to do that, we unfunded some of the other vacant funded posts so that we could prioritize monitoring of local government performance. And as a result of that process, in July 2012, our total number of funded posts increased to 197. At the current point in time, in March 2013, we filled 173 of our 197 funded posts, and we have 5 new employees due to start in the beginning of April. So we have 24 funded vacancies remaining. And all of those 24 funded vacancies have been advertised and are in the process of being filled. Okay, so this slide provides more detail on our total expenditure for the year. It provides a pie chart, I think, of the details provided in this slide with a bit more detail. So it shows that our expenditure quarter one to quarter three, I'm not sure if we provide 44 when previously it was 55 in the other time block. Okay, sorry, this is goods and services, this slide. So this is our goods and services budget, providing more detail to that one in particular. We spent 44.4% of our goods and services budget in the first three quarters, 19.6% of it in January and February, and a large chunk in March for the reasons that I've given, that this is largely the evaluations which are now being completed, which started late because we only got our national evaluation plan for 12-13 approved by Cabinet in June, and that was partly because the evaluation program is itself a new program. We spent 4.9% on the norms and standards project. I'm not sure if that's the budget or the expenditure piece for the norms and standards. Okay, so that's the remaining budget for norms and standards research. The 3%, the dark purple one, is the remaining budget, which is committed but not yet spent for the 20-year review. The 1% green for information technology, for IT, things which have been ordered but not yet delivered. The 2.5% red button shows the fading from the hot line, and is an estimated 1.4% under expenditure. This slide gives the details related to the hot line. As we've indicated to the committee in the past, the hot line was transferred to DPME from the presidency in October 2011. And for the, we requested additional funding from National Treasury for the 12-13 financial year for the hotline in order to increase the number of operatives in the call center, which is housed at CICA, and to obtain a few other services from CICA involving analysis of the package, the way in which the data on the calls is packaged. And we also requested additional funding in order to cover calls, the cost of calls made to the toll-free number. These things were done. Additional call center capacity has been put in place by CICA during 2012. CICA is providing additional services, and we've also received and paid invoices from the telephone companies. But in all of these areas, the actual costs were less than what we estimated. Chairperson, this is partly due to the fact that this was a new project for us at DPME, and it was transferred to us in October 2011, so we didn't have historic data on what these things would cost. At the time when the hotline was transferred to DPME from the presidency, the telephony companies hadn't yet submitted invoices for the toll-free number calls, and we estimated the cost of those invoices to be higher than they actually were. We also, CICA was more cost-effective than we budgeted for, and the actual cost of the additional call center operators and the additional services provided to us by CICA for running the call center have turned out to be lower than was initially estimated. So all of these factors result in us having a saving of about $3 million against our hotline budget. We do intend to request permission for rollovers for two projects on the grounds that we were requested to start these projects after the start of the financial year. That is the 20-year review, and also the research on national and provincial, the research on minimum norms and standards for concurrent functions at provincial and local government level. But for both of these projects, orders are in place, the procurement process is complete, but the actual implementation of the work is midway. So we think that there's quite a strong motivation for obtaining rollovers for these two projects. This shows our capital budget, which has largely been on IT equipment.
Yeah.
The light brown shows our expenditure quarter one to quarter three is 28.8%. The slightly darker brown shows our expenditure for January and February, and the orange shows our projected expenditure for March. The green shows committed expenditure where orders have been placed but the goods have not yet been delivered. The red of 4.8 shows again committed work which has not yet been completed in terms of improvements to the COA, frontline service delivery, and impact computer system, software systems that we have in place, and we have a projected saving of 8.9% of our capital budget. I think I've spoken to this slide as just the reasons why our capital expenditure took place towards the end of the financial year. The prime reason being that our infrastructure plan was only finalized with CICA in June, so the procurement process only started after June. Again, we don't think this is that this will happen again next financial year because we'll have largely completed our capital expenditure on IT equipment during this financial year. So in conclusion, Chairperson, on the presentation on our expenditure versus budget, our estimated 9% under-expenditure of our total budget is partly related to the fact that as a new department we haven't had this historical expenditure data, and our program managers and unit heads have tended to overestimate their budgeting. And the other main reasons, as I've said, are the approval for the evaluation program from the Cabinet after the start of the financial year, and the approval of our ATP plan after the start of the financial year as well. But we think that we've now settled into a multi-year budgeting and expenditure process where we, like more established departments, we are now starting to undertake planning and preparation the year before expenditure takes place. As I mentioned, on our major goods and services item of evaluation, we are doing the preparatory work this now, so expenditure is going to start early in the new financial year. We've also introduced a couple of other corrective measures to prevent this under-expenditure happening next financial year. I've agreed with the CFO that he is going to play a more direct role in engaging with program managers to ensure that their budgets are realistic, particularly now that we have this historical expenditure data. And we've also introduced monthly expenditure versus budget meetings to ensure that there's much more rigorous expenditure monitoring in future, and if there are unavoidable and unanticipated delays in certain items, we can timely do shifts and violence so that the money can be spent in other areas of need. So we expect that for next financial year we will be within 2% of budget. Thank you, Chairperson. That's the expenditure part of the presentation. Should I go straight on to the performance part, or should I pause? Targets that we didn't achieve
was for that quarter was that the A5 architecture should be approved by the DG. That has been now been done. Was done in the fourth quarter. We had another target that the IT governance framework should be approved by the DG. That also was a little late, but it has now been done in the fourth quarter. It's been signed off. And the hardware policy was also delayed a little. I know it's been finalized now, and I will sign it off this week. Program 2, outcomes, monitoring, evaluation. Of the 10 targets for this quarter, we fully achieved 6, 2 were partially achieved, and 2 not achieved. The 2 targets that were partially achieved were firstly to compile and submit a report to Cabinet for each of the 12 outcomes. In our report to National Treasury on this quarter, we reported that this was partially achieved. But actually, when we were preparing this presentation, we actually realized that we should have said that this was one of the fully achieved ones, because we did prepare a report to Cabinet on Outcome 9. It's just that the Cabinet Committee didn't consider Outcome 9 because the lead department didn't submit a report to Cabinet. So the item was taken off the agenda. That's why we reported it partially done. But actually, that target was fully achieved. So it should be 7 fully achieved, yes. We also set ourselves the target of commissioning 20 research papers for the 20-year review. 2 research papers were contracted in the quarter, and 32 terms of reference drafted by the research papers, which have since been contracted. So we only partially achieved this, which is a little late. But by the end of the financial year, we would have fully achieved the annual target. The 3 targets not achieved related to one being to compile and submit an overall summary report to Cabinet on all 12 of the outcomes in each quarter. And this was the target for quarter 3. But we didn't do that for quarter 3 because of the December holidays in January and the Cabinet report for various reasons. No Cabinet meeting was scheduled, and so the submission of this summary report was cancelled. We would have submitted if there had been a meeting. There was another target of producing 2 new guidelines to support evaluations. That's also been a bit slower than expected, but I will be getting 4 guidelines to sign off during this week, which have been completed. Work has been done on them. So we will exceed the target for the year. Program 3, ME system. For 10 targets, 6 were fully, for the quarter, 6 were fully achieved, 1 was partially achieved, and 3 were not achieved. The partially achieved targets relate to the target that we can set ourselves to present our finding of our audits of government of monitoring, evaluation, human resource capacity in government, to present that result of that audit to stakeholders by December 2012. That was a bit delayed, but it has since been done. And the 2 targets not achieved relate to within ourselves the target for legislation related to our work. I forget the exact wording, I think it was to present draft results from the Cabinet by that quarter 3. But that process related to that legislation has been delayed because we still haven't reached consensus amongst the administrative centre of government departments regarding the need for the bill and the scope of the bill. We also set ourselves targets to revise the government-wide monitoring evaluation policy framework and to consult with our minister for submission to Cabinet. There have been delays in this project. We have decided to undertake a much more extensive consultation process than originally envisaged. So this process is going to take longer than we envisaged. It will go into the new financial year as well to develop the revised government-wide monitoring evaluation policy framework. A first draft of the revised policy framework has been produced, but I think there's some way to go in the process of consultation. And the third target that we set ourselves was to produce this relevant indicator report, which was delayed. But the report has since been produced. I'm currently editing it. So it looks like the actual printing of the report will happen in the new financial year. So that last target will also be partially achieved for the full year and completed early in the new financial year. Our fourth program, Public Service Oversight, of 14 targets, 11 were partially achieved. 11 were fully achieved, 2 were partially achieved, and 1 target was not achieved. The partially achieved targets relate to assess all the draft APPs of all national departments where the national departments submitted them to us. This again, we reported to National Treasury as partially achieved. This was on the first preparation of this presentation, we realized that we should have reported it as fully achieved because we did do assessments of first draft APPs, all national departments which submitted their APPs. A few national departments didn't submit their APPs timely, and that's why we said it was partially achieved. But actually, in terms of the exact wording of the indicator, it was fully achieved. So this target fully achieved should be 12 out of 14. We also indicated for the frontline service delivery monitoring program that we would carry out return visits, in other words, visit sites, frontline service delivery sites a second time, once if we visited in 2011-12 to check whether improvements have happened according to our recommendations. And we said this was partially achieved because we only did 29 of 32 planned return visits. But we will do the remaining 3 outstanding visits by the end of this month. The target not achieved relates to the production of a draft annual report for frontline service delivery monitoring program activities during January and December 2012. That was delayed a little, but it's been done in the fourth quarter. So overall, our targets fully achieved, according to our report to Treasury, was 37 out of 56, which is 66%, but it's actually 39 out of 56, so it's more like closer to 70%. About 18% of our targets have been fully achieved for the quarter, and about 16% of our targets for the quarter were not achieved. Thank you very much, sir.
I don't think it. checklist in the second bullet, a number of anti-dike positions were filled by successful internal candidates, resulting in new openings. Now, Jefferson, actually all what happened here between the budget for both positions, it is just people from a full position move to an open position and the others come open. It's not a saving, it's actually an increase in cost. Because people move forward, not backwards, higher positions, higher salaries, etc. So bullet number two should be part of bullet number one. Then I want to know, so number three here, yeah, it stands as number three. The other thing I would like to know is, once the violence has been done, does it mean that they can still carry on then with, to exercise the vote, or does that process then come to a halt for the rest of the financial year? Because I mean, if you get permission from Treasury to transfer the money by means of violence, you know, there's no space for compensation to cover the and that relates to my very first question. It is not just a convenient way of shifting the money. Because once the money is gone, it's gone. You can't hold post anymore for that financial year.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Jefferson, no, it's got out this morning. Thank you for the presentation. I think the department has done reasonably well. I mean, the new department and the explanation quite satisfactory. But what I'd like to know is the specialist skills that one talks about. Can you give us an idea of what are the kinds of skills that are required within the department? And when you refer to specialist skills, I mean, what are they? Is there a term of those skills? Just following on the board.
you look on the same, like you said, presentation that another book of the foundation of the service, on page 5, which are called on you, more people in the paper, starting low, just low. Now, the question that we always raise from the committee is that we are dealing with the media and which in other words means that we haven't approved the budget for 2013, but we already know more. We already know more or less how much it's going to be in 2014. Because of how our budget is structured. Why then do we have this kind of expenditure where it is the minimum of the expenditure? And then the fight happens in March. In fact, India, we were commenting India that the challenge that is in us, and then to us, this third quarter report is important. And the context of this third quarter report is that we're able to check or benchmark as to how far the second level is going at the end of the third quarter. And then it's just your much faster. It happens in all the results. For the year, 9 months of the year, there's no expenditure. Come the fourth quarter, then the expenditure goes to nothing. Now, the issue that really worries us is the take up of this fight. Does it translate to real business deliver? Or has it got to do with planning? Why is it that we are still in the on page 7, towards the end of the financial year, that was 2011, 2012, you took your, what was it, your IQ or the evaluation program to Canada. Approved it, come 2012, 2013, again now, you go back for implementation. You think it works like that? When it has been approved, now you want to implement and appeal, go back for implementing another commission now. So this now we should work with it. I want to call it on page 8. I'm interested on this number which I have for concurrent functions. I know a lot of departments, they have the greatest problem about the issue of concurrent functions. The Department of Health, for example, has come up with the Health Act to ensure that the job running, they have a part of the issue, and then everyone is protected with that. Now, how far are we, what does this mean? This, I don't know whether you're still researching it, or if it's taken place, for the end of the financial year. I think it's interesting just to elaborate on the findings. I don't think if you can. Well, I think that's not only the department. All of us, I saw on Sunday the Minister of Human Settlement. He was on TV about the expenditure that is not taking
page 2.
Thank you.
presentation, there was no deliberate budgeting for over budgeting for compensation in order to have money available for violence. We did hope and expect to fill all of our positions, and we budgeted for that accordingly. There is a record of all of our attempts to fill the posts, which can be audited, of the fact that they were all advertised, but some had to be re-advertised. The process for putting some foot longer than expected. The type of give some examples of the type of specialist position, some of which took longer than expected. For example, the outcome facilitator for health, who has to be a person who has very strong knowledge of the health sector, a large number of years of experience in a senior management position in health in the public sector, someone who's able to engage with ministers involved in the health outcomes, and to lead the process to facilitate the process of making adjustments to the health delivery agreements and to facilitate the monitoring of the implementation of health delivery agreements. This is a very highly qualified position requiring particular skills and expertise. It's not the case that we haven't filled these positions. The point that we're making here is that they've taken longer than expected. So in some cases, we have to advertise and re-advertise two or three times and then hit on. So sometimes where we approach for the post in 3 months, it might have taken us 9 months or even a year to fill it. But we don't give up, and in most of these positions where it's taken us longer than expected to fill positions, we have eventually found somebody. So three in particular included the outcome facilitator for health, the outcome facilitator for jobs, for outcome four, for jobs, the outcome facilitator for outcome 12, the efficiency and effective public service, and also our DDG position for the PSO grant, which is still in the process. We're still trying to find a suitable candidate for that and get cabinet approval. When we made the shift environment, we did it on the basis of a recalculation of our expected expenditure on compensation based on our experience. So it's not correct to say that once we made the environment, funds are no longer available to fill the positions which we've been taking longer than expected to fill. We still plan to fill all those vacant positions, but we just know that it's going to take us longer than expected, so we're not going to spend as much because we won't have positions filled as many months in the year as we originally expected. So we did still continue with the process of advertising and attempting to fill all the vacant positions after we've made the shift in violence. I think the second bullet there is a valid point because we budgeted assuming that existing filled posts would remain filled and that we would also fill vacant posts. So when we've actually budgeted for filling of two positions, the existing filled posts and the vacant post. So when a person in an existing filled post is a successful candidate and moves into the vacant post, our actual expenditure is less than we expected because we expected to be paying the two salaries. For a while, we only pay the one. While we fill the position, we take the time to go through the recruitment processes to fill the position which has been vacated by the internal person who's gotten the vacant post. And as a result of that, we have some months for that particular position where there isn't expenditure because the person is moving to the other position. So the fact that some of our vacant advertised positions were filled by successful internal candidates does result in less expenditure than we budgeted for. However, I have engaged on this issue with the CFO and the head of HR, and I've said to them that actually, to budget accurately, you should expect that to happen sometimes, and we shouldn't just budget for expecting that all of the positions will be filled for all of the time. That you run the risk of over-budgeting for personnel. You should expect for a certain amount of this kind of thing to happen. positions might be vacant for some months because people, internal candidates, get are successful in some of the vacant positions. So for the 13-14 financial year, we try to budget more accurately for compensation. And I think perhaps that would answer the member's question in that there was no deliberate over-budgeting for compensation during this financial year, but based on the experience, we are going to try next year to budget more accurately to estimate a certain percentage of the compensation budget which would not be spent due to these kind of issues, due to some of the processes taking longer and due to some internal promotions as well. Okay, I think I've answered the second question as well, to give some examples of the kind of specialist positions that have taken us longer than would have expected to fill. There was a question as to whether some of these specialist positions which took us longer than expected to fill were new vacancies or people leaving. It's a mixture. Sometimes it's been people leaving. For example, our outcome facilitator for DOPS, Alan Hirsch, is now taking up a position to run a new graduate school for public management at University of Cape Town. So we've been trying to fill that vacant position. And Mwazi Gaza, who was our outcome facilitator for health, was an internal promotion to be the DDG for the outcomes branch. So we've also, since then, been trying to fill the position that she vacated as well. But there are other positions which we've advertised which are new positions. For example, in our local government monitoring branch, which is a new unit that we've created. Council perhaps can come in here on the bargaining. There was a question about the bargaining council resolutions. As you say, Chairperson, they were agreed to in July, but it's only recently that DPSA has given us permission or instructions to implement them.
Is that correct, Council?
So, yes. So although the bargaining change agreements took place much earlier, we had to wait for permission or instructions from the DPSA to implement. And with regard to the HIV assessment, we're not involved in the current old process of HIV assessment. That's done by the Public Service Commission. In terms of the existing DPSA policy, the Public Service Commission facilitates the DG's assessments, and the DG's are assessed by committees of ministers and deputy ministers and other members of the panel. All of that is facilitated by the Public Service Commission, and DPMB is not involved at all. We went to Cabinet with a suggestion for some improvements to the system, in which we suggested that in future the assessment should be chaired and managed by the DG and the Presidency rather than by committees of ministers. And that DPME could then provide the secretariat function for the DG and the Presidency as opposed to the Public Service Commission providing the secretariat function. So that proposal was approved by Cabinet, and accordingly we set up a unit we plan to set up a unit to provide that secretariat function. But in order for that Cabinet decision to take effect, the DPSA has to issue a new policy in terms of the Public Service Act, and hasn't taken effect yet because the DPSA hasn't issued a new policy. So we haven't yet been able to start the new role envisaged of us playing the role which was previously played by the Public Service Commission of facilitating assessments of national HODs. But the assessment of DGs under the old system is continuing, but as you say, Chairperson, there are problems with it and that some DGs haven't been assessed for a long time. They don't get bonuses. If they don't get assessed, they don't get bonuses and they don't get much pay increments either. With regard to the March spike, our March spike, Chairperson, I think we've explained in the presentation the particular reasons for our March spike, and that at this point I should also ask your other question about why we went to Cabinet twice about the evaluations. The first time we went to Cabinet was for the policy, which is a long-term policy framework. In terms of that policy, we said that we would go to Cabinet annually with a list of priority evaluations. the evaluations to have a high political profile and to be owned by ministers, so that the results of the evaluations hopefully will be implemented. So it's very important to us that Cabinet each year approves the evaluation to be carried out jointly by DPME together with national departments. So because we're a new department and the evaluation program is new, in this particular financial year under review, we weren't able to start planning of the evaluations and the procurement processes in the year prior to expenditure. But now we are able to do so. So my answer to a question, Chairperson, is that in the 13-14 financial year, our expenditure profile will look different. It will be much more evenly spread across the financial year, because we are now in a position to do the planning and some of the procurement work in the year before the financial year starts, which is the way it's supposed to work in the MTS, as you pointed out. And you also asked the question, Chairperson, is that March spike due to real service delivery, or is it possibly due to fiscal dumping? It is due to real service delivery. It's expenditure on the evaluations and on the ICT, which is causing the spike. And I'm sure the auditors will verify that. To provide a little bit of elaboration on the norms and standards for concurrent functions, Chairperson, there have been debates in government, in FOSAD in particular, which I was part of, about the experience, particularly of some of the recent interventions by national governments in the Eastern Cape and in Limpopo, and some of the challenges which were experienced in those interventions. And as a result of those discussions in FOSAD, there was agreement that work needs to be done to try and determine whether or not the constitutional provisions for minimum norms and standards for concurrent functions are being adequately utilized as a mechanism for enabling national governments to ensure certain basic levels of quality of service delivery at provincial level, and to enable provincial governments as well to ensure basic levels of quality of service delivery at local government level. So FOSAD asked us to lead the process of working with all the national departments responsible for concurrent functions to do an assessment of the existing norms and standards, and to also do an assessment of whether there's not scope and potential for having a more comprehensive set of norms and standards in order to be able to ensure better control by higher spheres of government of the quality of service delivery at lower spheres. We've just started the project. We have a committee of the national departments which we're chairing, which is overseeing the project. We don't yet have any results. We'll inform you, Chairperson, when we start having results, and then we can come and present the results of this work to the committee. The intention is to prepare a report to go to FOSAD and then to Cabinet with recommendations for areas where more comprehensive norms and standards should be put in place as a means of trying to ensure better monitoring of the quality of service delivery. There is a link between this work and the monitoring, support and intervention bill which the Department of Corporate Governance is currently developing. The aim of that bill, as I understand it, is to provide clarity as to exactly how interventions which are done in terms of the constitutional provisions for interventions by national governments, provincial governments, and provincial and local will be carried out. But it's most likely that the monitoring, support, and intervention bill will refer specifically to norms and standards set by higher spheres of government. So we think it's important to do this research at the same time as that bill is being developed, because that bill will enable more effective interventions to be put in place, but the process of putting in place more comprehensive norms and standards will complement the bill, and that there will then be more comprehensive and more concrete grounds on which the interventions in terms of the bill could take place.
Just before you...
the way we focus really on the most effective service. Maybe we made a mistake when we developed or were negotiating the particular constitution. Because if you start developing laws and things, the whole basic order will change for the country. Unless you can think that in the future you're going to go ahead and start to look at popping up provinces that are way behind through conditional grants, etc. So, although I welcome a Lord and Sanders approach, it's going to be very interesting to see how that Lord and Sanders will be applied and how it's going to be budgeted. I'm not asking you a question, I'm merely making a request that when you interact with the your colleagues and the request to maybe look at constitutional provisions, it's almost like we want to shadow box around imposed provisions of the constitution that relates to the National Party and to the party. We can change the constitution they don't exist to you.
Are they ordinary?
Which is an excellent point. We really have to take an effort or two, but if we can live with it. But I believe honestly that we need, let's not try to work around these provisions. And when we go forward, let's put a creative solution to it. That could be my request.
Thank you. I don't know whether I'm going to say something I don't understand yet. Because really, there must be a center of responsibility, respect of the voting power. But we know that things can be different. At our different places, but at the top of it, the provinces concurrent function for not a general responsibility should always be at the top, wherever the powers are being devolved to. Those people know that they just have those powers, but the responsibility, I think it comes to those nonsense standards. I don't know whether the responsibility must be uniform, that one hospital there and one school at a certain corner can't say now I have financial, the powers are devolved to me. The powers are devolved to some, I can't say responsive functions or responsibilities within that limit, but they are still accountable to a central power. I don't know whether it's going back to the national type or what, but at a certain level, wherever the functions are devolved to, wherever the money has to be implemented, then there has to be a one way of accountability where the responsibility is involved in that national issue, where that uniformity, because that's still how we function. Maybe we are coming to the same thing, but we really don't know how to express it because it's giving us problems. But the responsibility must lie somewhere, maybe where the money comes from, and without interfering with the constitution or what, but the ABC of it must be that I have this function and I must account somewhere about whatever I'm doing at the bottom. I hope at the end of the day this problem is being solved and makes the job of whoever will be in parliament easier.
Now, I think that the DJ will respond, but when we are dealing with the division of parliament, in the division of parliament you were saying to us in 9 months, while implementation will happen at other levels, but we are telling the national office ahead of responsibility as well to ensure that the output is in line with what was said.
Now the where you come from now is otherwise would be in charge of nine provinces, not eight, if there were no those compromises. They also have interest, you know. So you could be in the same I think that what is being done here, DG will clarify us, is to ensure that it's part of the CDMP responsibility, is to ensure that the outcomes that are produced by the system are the same. If you are in the Boko and the Western case of ITA, you don't feel that you want to be transferred to another court. Not to Yes, but this is, yes, I think it's not easy, but it will be useful if the minister and you can understand and able to respond to some of the questions. But I would say that no, it's not an operational thing. Political questions do arise. Over to yourself.
When COSAT asked us to work with the national department responsible for current functions on this project, there was also a debate about the constitution and the possibility of addressing the problems with concurrent functions through changes to the constitution. So there's various possible solutions to these problems, one of which might be change of constitution. Another possible solution, at least partially, might be to improve norms and standards. And so the scope of this particular project is to look at, to answer the question as to, is there scope for improving the management of concurrent functions through better use of the constitutional provisions for minimum norms and standards. Now, there may well be a number of areas where minimum norms, improved minimum norms and standards could have a substantial effect on the quality of service delivery without significant cost implications or financial implications. For example, if you look at aspects of service delivery such as queue management in clinics or cleanliness of hospitals and clinics, it may be that through the introduction of norms and standards, which the National Department of Health has now started to do, you could result in much more uniform quality of service delivery across the country without having a major impact on government finances. Just through introducing those minimum norms and standards, forcing a process of improving management practices, which in turn could result in improved service delivery. So, as I said, we're at the initial stages of this project. It's really research at this stage to with the aim of providing COSAT and Cabinet with a picture of the extent to which we're currently using those constitutional provisions, whether there isn't more scope to use the constitutional provisions to improve service delivery and to standardize quality standards more, and to enable national ministers for concurrent functions to have more authority to ensure minimum levels of quality of service delivery and concurrent functions. We, as part of the research, we will look at the financial implications in all the different areas. National Treasury is part of the process. They're part of the steering committee and are very supportive of the process. We'll also look at other implications of introducing more comprehensive norms and standards. There would also be monitoring implications for the national departments themselves. There would be no point in putting in place more comprehensive norms and standards if the national departments don't have the capacity to monitor them and the systems, the data collection systems to check whether or not there's compliance with those norms and standards. And the support is very important to hear. Very interestingly, we think that there's been a very substantial improvement in textbook delivery this year at provincial level. Compared to last year. And our analysis of why that has happened is because the National Department of Basic Education has effectively put in place process norms for the procurement and delivery of textbooks at provincial level. And which means provincial education departments are adhering to those processes? Have they produced the textbook procurement plan in time? Have they met the deadline for going out on tender, etc., etc., each success? And chairperson, most important is that they provide a strong level of support to the provinces which fall behind in terms of those process norms and standards. And we think it's for those reasons that the textbook delivery has improved markedly for the 2013 school year compared to the 2012 school year. There was a question as to whether our targets are ambitious, and does this have an impact on the percentage of fully achieved? Yes, we do deliberately set our targets ambitiously, and we also are very strict in terms of reporting against our targets. So we only report it as fully achieved if it's really fully achieved. So if we say we're going to submit 12 reports to cabinet and we only submit 11, then we don't say it's achieved. We say it's only partially achieved. Related to that was the question of, are we generally on the right track, despite the fact that for three of our programs, the fully achieved are at about 50%. I would argue that yes, we are generally on the right track. In all of our major programs, in evaluation, we're proceeding well. All the evaluations that were approved by Cabinet to be carried out in 12-13 are being carried out. We are doing the preparation for all the evaluations for 13-14 that have been approved by Cabinet. We are implementing all the frontline service delivery monitoring that we said that we would implement, that we plan to do, and we're doing the follow-up visits and engaging with all the national departments. We are now piloting citizen-based monitoring with a number of key national departments, such as the SAP. And we are implementing the management performance assessment. During 12-13, we had all national provincial departments participate in the management performance assessments. So in our main, and with regard to monitoring of the outcomes, we are producing regular briefing notes on progress to cabinet committees. Cabinet committees are sitting on a quarterly basis and assessing progress against the delivery agreements for the 12 outcomes. And we have now started to work on the medium-term strategic framework for the 2014-2019 period to start to develop high-level outcomes for that MTSS and to make that MTSS the first five-year building block of the National Development Plan. So in summary, Chairperson, I think we are on the right track in terms of delivering on all of our major programs. There was a question as to what is the impact of the shifting of funds environment on our predetermined objectives. I don't think there is any, apart from to say that there's both positive and negative implications. We would have preferred to have fully spent our compensation budget and have all the posts sold more timely. And the fact that we didn't have all the posts sold as quickly as we wanted to must have some impact on our performance. But on the other hand, by shifting the funds to some of our key delivery programs, such as evaluation, we've been able to deliver more on that side in terms of the numbers of evaluations which we've been able to initiate. We do have systems, computer systems in place, software systems in place to support our programs, and particularly the management performance assessment, the frontline service delivery, and the outcome. They are all systems which are up and working, and the improvements that we're making don't stop the systems from working in the meantime. So they are working systems, but we're trying to enhance them and improve them as we use them. So the enhancements of the systems don't stop us from being able to carry on doing the work in the meantime. Chairperson, with regard to the draft results poll, the answer to your question is that yes, it is largely due to external factors, and that we think it would be wise for us to develop a certain level of consensus, particularly with requirements such as national security and DPSA with regard to the scope and the purpose and the content of the bill, particularly as depending on what decisions are made in that regard, it might have implications for the PFMA and the Public Service Act and might require changes to those acts. We think it's better to obtain a certain level of that consensus before going to Cabinet with the draft bill. And we haven't yet been able to obtain that level of consensus. Perhaps we did in previous meetings, Chairperson, talk about the possibility of having a focus session on the notion of a results bill and on the scope of it. So perhaps that is something that might still be useful for us to engage on between the department and the committee to try and move forward on this issue of exactly what should the scope and the focus and the exact contents of the bill be. In the meantime, we are continuing with our work. We are implementing all of our programs. And I think the question is, could we be doing more if we had the results all in place? And I guess that would also partly depend on exactly what the scope and the contents of the goal are. So it's a bit difficult to answer the question of what are the implications of not just having the goal in place. But perhaps the key point to make is that not having the goal in place hasn't stopped us from implementing our key programs that we're implementing. And then finally, Chairperson asked a question about the development indicators for 2012. As I said, I'm currently doing the final edit of them, and they'll be published. We'll be taking them to Cabinet shortly, and then they'll be published. Colleagues, would you like to add?
From the beginning has been saying that these are some companies.
to the implementation of the model. And I find it very interesting to produce it to them about the kids. But I get worried when they're in the case, you know, from them. I would like to make sure that there is, it is implemented and so that people can be able to see where they are in terms of their employment. I smiled, so I'm sorry, you're not sure that I smiled when you're talking about the last year that we need to engage. What we, the reason I was smiling, I'm worried that we don't encroach on the area where it is not us, because we are aware that it must have got the process in the but still because of the interest and there might not be anything wrong in talking about it, but I would like us to preempt whatever discussions that we need to do thank you very much for the report. We listen forward to well, that is the last comment that is around the time. I think that these issues, I think there are issues that would be more treatment that we can talk about the problem. When we deal with the people, maybe we should be able to give them more time. No, I don't want to speak to you. I want you to speak to me. We have a bit of a challenge. We don't have the quality.